Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh yeah, Bob, I'm still angry. And we'll get to that in a moment.
You came in here on a Monday normally, so blissful, so interested in everything, asking for people's well-being. And today, it's a different day. I don't like this kind of day, Joe Starkey.
Well, you know what I do like is Limits' hat. That's a 79 pirate hat with the yellow, circles on it, Bob, and the P in the
middle.
The only
thing missing are the Stargell Stars.
Oh, I have one with the Stargell Stars, too.
Mr. P. He really is Mr. P today. Look at the P on the hat,
Bob. That's right. There's no C for city. There's no A for Austin. There's a P.
Who's the first person you think of when you see that hat?
Willie Stargell. Yeah. Always Willie Stargell.
You know who I was thinking of today? However, Bill Madlock, because it's a trade day. We're going to be talking a lot of trades. Proposed trades, good trades, bad trades, trades that have happened, trades that should happen, trades that will never happen, and maybe even the top 10 trades in Pittsburgh sports history based on a column from your friend and ours, Bob, Ron Cook, from a while ago. How would you like to do that?
How many years ago was that column? Does it say?
It was based on the Erik Karlsson deal. So not that long ago.
Not that long ago.
It's still fresh. Of course, Ron also covered the Babe Ruth trade, so he has a wide span of knowledge there, doesn't he, Bob?
He does, no doubt.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
No, you're not. I can
tell
you're not doing well.
No, I'm just tired because I work late, and that's what it is. So it takes me a good few minutes to get going. But anytime you talk sports, the blood gets churning here. Let's go.
What'd you have for a snack when you got home last night, Bob?
I avoided, well, to be honest, prunes.
Prunes?
Yeah. That goes to show you.
With a little rice pudding and
some. No, just prunes.
What else would you drink with that?
No, it's just prunes. I like prunes. I think they're good fiber for you, so I try to take them here and there. Last night, instead of reaching for potato chips, I went prunes.
That's a big move.
Yeah.
Right there. Maybe a little Ensure to go with it?
I'm not there.
Some rice pudding?
I'm not there yet. But
Limits, what do you make of Bob's snack choice?
Yeah, I don't know. I had some chips myself last night. Prunes was not on the card.
The problem with chips is that they especially 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it sits with you forever, and I don't want to have that with me all, So I like prunes. I think they're pretty good.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
Bob, nobody would go home at night at 2 a.m. and have a bowl of prunes
I didn't
and
have
say
a bowl.
They enjoyed it.
I had just a couple. It's something for me to, instead of reaching for the stupid salty stuff all the time.
I actually admire the choice because the salty stuff is, you don't want that. And yet I crave it.
I mean, I crave it all the time too.
Bob, I'm going to start with a story today. I'm still angry about this. My kid had a volleyball tournament down at the convention center this weekend.
Okay.
And do we still use the L in Lawrence, or has that bypassed us? Because every time I see
still do.
Yeah, why wouldn't
David
we?
David L. Lawrence Convention
When Limits
Center.
Wrote out my reads for last week, it's just called the David Lawrence. I always like the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. Mm-hmm. Didn't you?
Yes, because it's part of the name.
Agreed, Limits?
I agree. I just gave you what I was given.
I know. I wasn't blaming you.
Thank you.
we're off to a passive-aggressive start. Here's what happened, Bob. See if you can follow the story. Are you ready? Coming from here, basically, from Greentree, mm-hmm. you go downtown. Mm-hmm. You go by the convention center to where the river's on your left, the convention center on your right, correct? If you're doing
10th
it that
Street
way.
Bypass, is that what you went?
Yeah. Then you curl up and make a left on Smallman Street, okay? You following me?
Yes.
All right. So the tournament was Saturday and Sunday. Saturday morning, roughly 7 a.m., a little bit after, I pull up Smallman Street. I'm going to make a left into the parking lot there for $20 to park for the day. But I see a sign, I think it was in front of the Heinz History Center, I believe, if that's what it's called, that said $10 parking a block ahead. So I save $10 if I go a block ahead, correct?
You get some steps in and everything. It's a win-win.
And that too. So I went a block ahead and parked. End of story for Saturday. Saved $10. Felt pretty good about myself. The next morning, which was yesterday morning, I take the same route. Are you following this, Limits?
I am.
Is it easy to understand?
It is.
The exact same route. Come to the exact same inflection point, and I see $10 parking one block ahead. I'm like, this is great. I'll do it again today. So I pull up to that lot, which is right past the History Center on the right, basically across from that little hotel there. I forget what the name of it is. Is it Hampton Inn? I don't know. I notice it's empty and there's cones up and it says full leases only. So I yell from my car over to the guy, hey, can I park? He's like, no. I said, okay, what's up? It says that sign says parking $10 one block ahead. He said, it's $20 today, and we're not open yet. I said, okay, I'll go change the sign, just like that. And then he starts yelling. I start yelling. Bob, I felt like it was false advertising. Number one, thinking that they're open, which they should have been, because they know that that event's going on down there. Number two, here's the thing that really galled me, was the false advertising on the sign. That said $10 parking one block ahead. $10 parking one block ahead. He's telling me it's $20 today, which tells me they sucked you in yesterday into this lot for $10. Now they're going to get you for $20. So I said, last thing I said was, okay, I'll go change the sign. So I went back, parked in the $20 lot, walked across the street, turned the sign around. So it was a blank sign for everybody to see.
I wonder why there was a police officer out here in the lobby. I think that's why. You just pretty much doomed yourself for that one. You took Pittsburgh public property, you turned it around in an effort to satisfy your rage, Joe.
No.
This is a parking thing.
It was false advertising. There wasn't $10 parking a block ahead.
Take it down. Maybe it was for one
day.
Oh,
I don't think so, Bob. $10 parking a block ahead, it didn't exist. So I did everybody a favor. Okay? I did everybody a favor.
Would you have liked to have seen, Austin, the video of him walking over to that sign? Because I'm sure that wasn't just an easy takedown sign. That was probably a slam dunk. He probably took it down, smacked it down in the ground.
No, all I did was turn it around. So, you know, it helps. It helps that way. Of course, I guess the people the other way then saw a sign that said $10 parking a block ahead. I'm not taking that. I'm just not taking it. I'm not taking it anymore. I'm taking things into my own hands these days, Bob. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Well, I understand how you feel for sure. But I also know that in the end of the day, that stuff doesn't matter. Don't get yourself all riled up. I'm trying to do that. That's my new approach to everything. Don't let any stress enter your life. It helps you if you try.
Do you really practice that?
Yes, because I feel like I have to. Given
last Friday when we came in, you were highly stressed to the point where I was concerned.
Where was I stressed?
Who was it who was here last week who Bob? Oh, Tyler Kennedy.
Yes.
That was last Thursday. You frightened him with your level of stress.
No, that was a misread on his part.
No, you were very upset that day, Bob.
I wasn't. What would I be upset about?
I can't remember.
It was the blinds.
The blinds?
The blinds gave me upset.
And then you forgot your headphones. You remember that?
I did, but I don't think I was that irrational, was it? Was I?
When you have a hockey player frightened? Yes, you were that day. No, in all honesty, I don't like that, man. I don't like being duped like that. Yeah. $10 parking.
Well, I'll tell you, parking.
If you want to change it to 20 on Sunday, change it to 20 on Sunday. I don't like it, but I can live with it. Then get the damn sign down.
Here's something.
Because first of all, they knew that this event was happening. It's one of the biggest events of the year down there for people coming from everywhere. Mm-hmm. They knew that was happening. They knew people would be parking at 7 o'clock in the morning because the first games are at 8. And yet they still have that little sign down there.
You know, I learned something here, and this is maybe something that Pittsburgh could utilize on weekends. I was recently in Dublin, Ohio, which is a cute little place just outside of Columbus, and went to dinner there with a couple of friends, and they had free parking all weekend in all their underground lots. Everywhere you could go, there's free parking in an effort to get people. You should see how packed it was in that area. So not everything has to be $20 every single day.
Right.
How about do people a favor? You want people to come into town, eliminate some of these ridiculous parking fees that you see.
Right.
But I know that won't happen, so kind of wasting my breath.
Yeah.
If you really want to get people to come into town, do that. It makes it a lot easier.
I agree.
You go to the strip district, if you don't park in the right space, you will get ticketed.
Yeah. And it could also be a longstanding resentment against parking places because I used to work for one. I used to work at the Chatham Center parking garage. Did you know that, Bob? When the Penguins were winning their cups in 91 and 92, I was the guy taking tickets in the parking garage. I heard the celebrations after games. I was in there. You probably parked there once or twice.
I didn't know Joe Starkey then.
I wonder if you said hello to me back then. You working those cup finals in 91
and
2?
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know if, I would have liked to have seen you back then. So were you angry at all with people coming in? Were they angry with you?
There
were some issues.
A little bit of both.
Okay.
And then I was in love with the girl who worked next to me, the parking attendant. It's a very short love story, Bob, that I probably won't bore you.
It was a one-way street.
One-way street. What was the worst job you ever had, Bob?
The worst job? I mean, I worked in golf a lot.
Weren't you a porta potty cleaner one year?
No, wasn't that. I sold shoes. I liked shoes at Sears.
Yeah.
But I worked as way back when as a caddy and a club cleaner down at the time Beaver Lakes Country Club in Aliquippa.
A caddy and a what?
Club cleaner. I would take
care of
all.
Did that involve toilets?
No, just clean guys' clubs, put them in, whatever. You know, hello, Mrs. Rogers, would you like to play today? I'll get your bag out, put it on a cart, whatever.
How about you, Limits?
I learned a lot then.
About what?
About golf etiquette. It's very helpful.
Worst job you ever had?
I was a lifeguard for my first job, and some of the people that I worked with lifeguarding, they weren't very fun. Not very fun. Some of them were mean.
Did you ever have to save a life?
Thankfully, no.
What would you have
thankfully
done?
Thankfully not.
I can imagine that.
He would have jumped in his pirate's hat, Bob.
I might have worn my pirate hat a couple of times.
I would trust this man with my life. Would you?
No.
Wow. That was a quick answer.
I wouldn't trust many, so I put you in a group that I just don't ever want to be in that situation, because I think it is actually, when you have grandkids and kids, it's good to take these courses about what to do in case somebody chokes, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you'd never know when it's going to come up, and I've seen people go through that, and if you're not prepared for it, and I assume you wouldn't be, but as a lifeguard, maybe you would be.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like if my life was in danger and Joe was around, the first thing he'd do would be to sing a song and try to make me feel better.
Yeah.
Would you hesitate
to give Joe mouth to mouth?
No, God, Bob. What if Ron had a problem? Would you give him that? That would be problematic, wouldn't it? I don't feel well, Bob. I don't feel well today. I've told you, I had this thing in my upper throat, chest,
And you
like
got a check,
cough. No, I never got it. I did. She put me on antibiotics, and they didn't do a thing.
That's what they always do, put you on antibiotics.
I know. They didn't do one thing. So here I am, 4 months later, having the same problem. Can you help me?
No. I mean, just try to get it out of your mind.
How about Crowley and I have the same size hands? We found that out today.
Bigger or smaller than Jalen Milroe?
I think maybe bigger. Probably smaller.
Crowley said nobody with under 9-inch hands has ever been a good quarterback. Isn't Joe Burrow have tiny hands? Are they less than 9 inches?
I don't know.
Limits, can you look that up, the size of Burrow's hands?
Yeah, I haven't been studying that.
At least we can then say Crowley made a mistake today. if he did that. But yeah, Milroe's got tiny hands, Bob. You don't want to draft him, do you?
I don't want to draft him just because I don't think he's going to be capable of being a franchise quarterback. I don't think many of these guys, the from the reports I've seen and video I've watched about the Senior Bowl, they don't. There are a lot of people having doubts about just about every single one of them. So this would be the wrong year potentially for the Steelers to think drafting a quarterback. So I may defer that until next year and just try to figure out something to get me to next year.
Joe Burrow, exactly 9-inch hands.
All right. Crowley was right. Nobody with less than 9-inch hands has ever been a really good quarterback, Bob. What do you make of that? Should the Steelers not have taken Kenny Pickett because of the tiny hands?
I guess history suggests.
How big were his hands limits? Could you look that up
Kenny
while you're
Pickett?
At it?
I think 8 3/4.
Yeah, I remember that. Remember we used to do those size of hand tests back then when they drafted him?
8.5.
Eight and a half. Bobby was a toddler when he was here. They should have brought him to practice in a little stroller with a bonnet on, for God's sakes. Given him a binky during practice. Eight and three quarters.
He may
I
get
have
the
tiny
last
hands,
left.
And they're bigger than that.
Eight and a half.
Yours are 8.5?
No, I don't know.
Does he get the last laugh if he just gets a Super Bowl ring
the
on
game,
the bench?
How about there's some reason?
Well, then he does, yeah.
You know, and then he does well. Who knows?
Bob, I really came here today not to talk about misleading parking signs or anything of that nature, but trades. It feels like trades is the theme of the day. I mean, we're probably going to open with the Penguins and the Marcus Pettersson, Drew O'Connor deal and what that could lead to. But then in the NBA, we get one of the craziest, most high-profile trades in the history of sports. Let's just say that. Anthony Davis for Luka Doncic, and Doncic is a 25-year-old megastar.
Five-time first-team All-NBA in first 5 years on the job.
He's a generational talent, and guys like that. Now, I saw, Mookie Betts is that, but it seemed like Mookie wanted out of Boston, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wasn't that kind of known before that deal?
There certainly was a lead-up to that trade.
Because he was 26, and his resume is every bit as sparkling as Luka's. Like, he's a generational baseball player. And he was traded at 26. So I won't say a trade like this never happens, but when it comes out of nowhere like this, and it's a guy who's that age, who's already one of the biggest talents who ever stepped foot on a basketball court, it just really opens your eyes. And it got me to thinking, about, hypothetically, of course, what the Penguins would get if they traded Sid, what the Pirates would get if they traded Paul Skeens, what the Steelers would get, even though TJ's older, Sid obviously older, what would the Steelers get for TJ Watt? I was talking to Doran. He had a really nice Bills shirt on, I might add, today, Bob. Did you see that?
You guys seem to be collectively in mourning. Now you've moved on to the Sabres with your hat.
I know. Well, I was wearing that already sort of as a funeral dirge, I guess. But we were talking about what, theoretically, like the Bills desperately need, a defense, but they desperately need a defensive star. What would make you as a Steeler fan, what would make you, Bob, I'm talking to people in general, what would make you perk up and say, that's interesting, as far as a return from the Bills?
For TJ Watt?
Hypothetically. I said, Doran said James Cook, the running back, for starters. I said, how about James Cook and 5 second round picks?
Well, I was going to go into picks department as well, because quite frankly, you're not going to get Josh Allen. And beyond that, I don't know how many guys measure up. James Cook is a nice piece. But I would be looking at draft picks, and I would take 2 number 1s and a number 2.
Even though the Bills are likely to be drafting low?
I don't care, because I still think if you look at where the Penguins are going to be drafting, the conditional pick may change that. But, they're not going to be in position, you would think, given what's available in this year's draft, especially in the NHL. There are not that many generational-type players, at least.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just want picks. If you're going to do it, that's the way to do it, and you can just load up from there.
See, I think that one, I wasn't even looking at, theoretical or that would never happen. Maybe it will never happen with TJ. I would think about that if I was
How about
Steelers.
Keon Coleman, a number 1 and 2 number 2s?
I'm not interested in Keon Coleman, I can tell you that. Well, neither are they. They only throw him the ball once
a
game.
It's 1 year.
Well, it would have to be a load of draft picks. What about Skeens?
Hmm. That's a different story altogether.
What would Paul Skeens draw from the Dodgers in a draft? Limits and I.
We're going to have that discussion in a couple of years, for real.
I know we are.
So,
but theoretically, what now? What
well, because
would it be?
He has such a little contract, and there's, I mean, less than $1 million. Whoever would be acquiring him knows they have him for a few more years at a very affordable price before they sign him.
Right. But and L.A. is always the place you think about, honestly, in every sport, because people seem to want to play there.
You already should shut down because they're going to win it again.
Well, let's just talk about, well, look at the roster now. I would take their top five prospects, and if Major League Baseball allowed it, $80 million, their top five prospects, and my choice of one player other than Ohtani off their roster.
Other than Betts?
Other than Ohtani and Betts, I guess.
Yeah. Other than
anyone else.
Anyone else I got on their roster. I got some big names on their roster.
Because if
Freddie Freeman, if I want a first baseman, I'll take him.
Anybody. Anybody other than those two, I get my pick of their roster player, their top five prospects, and $80 million. And I'll tell you this. I think the Dodgers would do that in a second. Because Paul Skeens is one of the rarest talents who's ever walked the earth.
He is. And the thing about it is they have anything you could possibly want in every department. You know, they just lost Jack Flaherty, I saw. Detroit signs him 2 years, $35 million, and they don't care. They have enough pitching.
Would you think about that from the Pirates' side?
If they hadn't, why not? Yes.
So would I. You'd have to. But Limits, do you think that would be a realistic deal?
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard to think about considering he's only been here for not even a year.
Yeah, but the question is, where does he fit in your rotation?
We all saw him.
He had a good year with the Dodgers.
The Dodgers saw him. They'd have him forever. They would sign him soon to a $1 billion deal. They'd have him forever. And the Pirates would have their top five prospects, tens of millions of dollars, and presumably a very good player. I'm still not positive I would do it, by the way. Because I want to see Skeens for these next 3 years.
I want to see what he's going to be able to do now that he's a favorite at age 22 to win a Cy Young, which is unbelievable to me.
Would they let that much money exchange hands, Bob?
Well, they're already letting him to defer everything. To me, they've circumvented some of the rules there. Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. There has to be some rule against it. How good are their prospects?
How about if they defer the payments to the Pirates? 20 this year, 20 next, 20 next, 20
fund
next.
The Pirates for the next 20
fund
years.
Fund the Pirates.
Yeah. You have to fund our payroll for the next 20 years at $100 million a year.
There we go.
I'm not so sure they'd say no. I mean, it's ridiculous. The Dodgers have six prospects on the top 100 prospects list, Bob. You get their top five. How would you like that? I bet you'd like it a lot, wouldn't you?
I would take them all because they normally don't miss. Despite where they pick, despite everything that goes on, they still do a pretty good job drafting, as do the Yankees. So, you know, they do a better job of that than the Pirates have done, actually. And the thing is, they spend a lot of money. So if you complement that with really good draft picks, you're in pretty good shape if you develop the picks. Pirates haven't been able to do that on a large-scale basis. And I think that's the number one overall issue if you're going to play small ball. You better get it all right. And they haven't done that.
What do you think at this point in his career that Sid would net?
You know, still quite a bit, I think. Sort of along the lines of TJ, getting up there in age. I would say if you're a team that thinks you can win a Stanley Cup and you can add Sidney Crosby, again, this is hypothetical, so nobody out there thinks we're actually saying this is going to happen because it won't happen. But
did Josh Yowie write about this or Rossi? I think Yowie did like a year ago.
I don't know. I would think you'd get couple to three first-round draft picks. You're trying to win a cup with a guy like that and maybe a big player, somebody who's already had success in the NHL.
Here's what Yowie said before this season. Or wait, when was August of 24, Bob? I can't think.
That's before the season.
Yeah, before this season.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said, and you said I was wrong.
I didn't say that. Did I say that?
No, you didn't.
Austin, what?
Yowie said it will never happen.
But if it did.
Bob, we need more energy from him over to our left, don't we? What's happened to Limits?
He worked the double shift on the weekends.
I haven't heard a peep out of him, and he's not
tired.
Saying anything, and he seems tired.
Beep, 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 beep. Not tired.
Yowie said it will never happen, but if I had to guess, I would imagine the Penguins would receive a 2025 and 26 first-round pick, a top prospect, and a young NHL player.
Right.
Again, theoretically, because I happen to want Sid to finish his career here, as I'm sure a lot of people do. But theoretically, would you do that deal? if he came to the Penguins and said, I want to go chase a cup,
if
would
he
you
won-
do it?
If he won it out,
yeah,
I would accommodate him, yes.
And that would be enough for you? Two first-round picks, a prospect, and a top prospect, and a young player?
It would have to be a top
player.
Prospect or two, and a young player already on a roster who's playing well. I mean, if it came to that, again, it all comes down to Sidney Crosby.
Right. If no, I know. Forget about that. No.
That would entice me, yes.
Yeah. Limits you?
Yeah, that would be difficult. Just because, I mean, I think about how the Blackhawks moved off of Patrick Kane and how iconic he was to their franchise. Not the same way that Crosby would be.
We've moved on from whether it's theoretical. Let's say Crosby wanted out. Would that package work for you? Two first-round picks, a top prospect, and a young NHL player.
If the top prospect is somebody who I think is not a can't-miss talent, but somebody who's going to be on a first or second line, yes.
I agree, actually, with you guys. That would work for me at this point in his career.
Yeah, I mean, if he were 5 years younger, it'd be a more hefty ask for me. But since he isn't,
yeah,
I would take that.
I'm with you. If he wanted that, that would be a reasonable deal. Presented by our friend and yours, Josh Yowie. Is it realistic that the Steelers would think about trading T.J. Watt, Bob? Did you talk to Art about that?
Yeah, I did ask him specifically about that.
What did he say?
No, he thinks this is where he is. They still need him there. He's a generational player. He's also a one helmet kind of guy. So I don't think they ever intended to, nor will they engage in those talks. But I think you should listen to everything.
So do I.
If I were GM, I'd listen to every possible thing. I would even play the game a little bit just to see where it would take me.
When he says a one-helmet type of guy, what does that mean?
You know what it means. They want guys to be here start to finish. It's a
until
rare
they
commodity.
Want to get rid of him. Hines Ward was a one-helmet guy, but they got rid of him at a point where he could have gone.
I understand that.
Troy, the same thing.
I'm not going to read too much into that comment other than to say that it is what, like Roethlisberger, one-helmet guy. I think Cam is going to be one of those guys. I think TJ would
Roethlisberger's be one of those guys. Another guy. That they got rid of before he wanted to go. Troy. So was Hines.
So was
Jason Franco.
Gilden,
so
Rod Woodson.
Right.
I can go on, and I understand your point.
So maybe if you think the day's going to come where you're going to get rid of this guy before he wants to go anyway, maybe you should at least be thinking about a trade with T.J. Watt, especially given the fact he's never been part of a playoff win. I was going to say run, playoff win. No fault of his own, but he hasn't been very good in the playoff games for the most part either. But obviously the guy's a great generational player.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more about the team around him than him as to why they haven't had a playoff win. But they haven't had one. Is he a worthwhile investment at this point in his career to throw another $100 million at, Bob?
Well, that's a different question, and again, that's the alternative. That's
the
alternative. If you're not going to move him, then you have to figure out what it's going to take to sign him for a couple of more years and what production you might get at age 32, 33, 34. It's not an easy position to play. I think, you look at Cam Hayward at his position, he's been terrific ever since he turned 30, some of his best years of his career. So do you think you can get that kind of production out of T.J. Watt? If you do, you'll sign him. I don't know what the price tag will be.
He seems to be having trouble being healthy at playoff time anyway, doesn't he?
Yeah, for the most part.
So his last contract was 4 years, $112 million, a $35 million signing bonus, and $80 million guaranteed. He says, he says, yeah, that's good. Let's just do that again. You doing it? I'm not.
That's a lot of money for 4 years. I don't know if I'd go 4 years. Now, if he would want 4 years and I wouldn't agree with that, I may have to change my mind if I'm there and consider other options. 4 years is a long time. I know you can move money down the road, kick it down the road to pay it later, whatever. But if he's impactful, if he is, that's well worth it. But you have to ask that question. Can he be? Will he be?
It's pretty amazing to think, and I honestly believe this, that he is as valuable as any non-quarterback or has been in his career. When he's at his best and healthy, as valuable as any non-quarterback in the NFL. And yet, even when he's out there, they can't win a single playoff game. What does that say about the roster building around him, Bob?
Yeah, it's not been good enough, despite the money they're putting into it, too. And they have the highest paid defense, but it wasn't playing like a highest paid defense. But to me, that still pales in comparison with the up and down offense. They got to solve that problem mostly in this offseason. My whole focus in this offseason would be mostly on offense. I know they need help on defense, but you can't do it all. I start there.
It's unreal. TJ Watt going into his age 31 season, and he's never been part of a team that's been competitive in a playoff game. I mean, that's Cardinals stuff. That's Jets stuff. That's the stuff we say about, I mean, the guy that we talked about him in comparison to before, that's Dick Butkus stuff. Like this legendary player, but he was with this, you know, sad sack.
It's kind of like Dan Marino in a way, because he never really got to play in but one, you know.
But at least they were winning playoff games. And yeah. He got to a Super Bowl and he got to AFC titles. But what I'm saying is this would normally be like, I don't know, pick other players. Like a guy who spent his career with the Cardinals or Butkus, like I said. And everybody points to his career and says, well, it was him and Gale Sayers and they were on this horrific franchise at the time. Mm-hmm. With the Steelers, people still somehow twist this into, you know, oh, they're still winning. They're still a really good friend. Okay, then how come that this great player just went through the equivalent of an entire career for a lot of guys, and they haven't even been competitive in one playoff game? Do you think maybe national media that you've overrated this Steeler mystique and overrated this string of non-losing seasons? Because really, they're about this far separated from the Bears, Cardinals, and Jets. About this far, Bob, as I hold my index finger.
You're eating 2/4 of an inch.
About that, yeah. They're about that far removed from being them, and it seems like the string of non-losing seasons is really, for the national media, I think, what impresses them, like that's the Steelers' calling card above all else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. But I think they're starting to change off that position because the streak in the playoffs is getting just as long. And so that's a more important streak, given the stakes involved and what they expect from it. So that's becoming more of a national talking point,
maybe. I think here's what the Steelers' stability gets them these days. They beat the chaotic teams, the highly unstable teams, and they beat them regularly. That's always an advantage for the Steelers. They can beat teams that are constantly in flux, constantly changing. Those teams that Art spoke about, you know, the whatever it was, 4 to 5, 6 mm-hmm. to 8 teams that change coaches every year. The Steelers have an advantage on them. Their stability beats chaos. It does. And that'll get you on the fringe of playoff contention all the time. But it won't get you anywhere else.
No.
It won't get you anywhere else. That's the only place it's getting you these days is your stability is an advantage over the chaotic teams in the league. You know what I'm saying, Limits?
Yeah, I do.
Like, it makes complete sense that, I mean, you can make an argument the Steelers don't win big games anymore when it matters most in December. Like, whatever happened to Unleashing Hell in December?
There's no opinion or argument there. That's a fact.
Yeah, entirely.
Mike Tomlin doesn't win big games anymore. That's a fact. If it was 2 or 3 years, you could say, I mean, he was just winning a playoff game, you know, 3 years. No. Been nearly a decade. He simply doesn't win big games anymore. And it seems to me he has as much power, if not more, than he ever did. I don't think you make a guy the fifth highest paid coach in American sports if you're not conferring a ton of power to him, right?
Yeah. I mean, that comes with it. If you're going to get that, then you have the power. But then it's about him bringing in people he can delegate some authority to and change, you know, the dynamic of how they play in these postseason games.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bob, let's take a closer look at one of the most stunning trades. And, you know, we weave this into Pittsburgh topic because, generally speaking, you know, the NBA, I don't think, holds a lot of sports attention around here. But, man, this will hold anybody's attention is Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis in a trade that rocked the sports world. And to me, the unanswered question, you don't trade a 25-year-old in a generational player. It just doesn't happen unless it's like a Mookie Betts where it seems like he wants to get out of town. And maybe that happened behind the scenes, but it seems to me the question here that nobody's really answering is why did Dallas do this? Why would you do that? Is it because of their ownership that they don't want to pay this $325 or $45 million contract that's going to kick in for him? Are they being cheap here? Because if I was in Dallas right now, I would be beyond outraged, wouldn't you?
Yes. I mean, again, you're talking about a generational player. And it was weird in that if I'm Dallas and I really want to move on from Luka Doncic, what I would do is make it be known through all the leak sites that are out there that, hey, Dallas is opening up. They may not be interested. Who's willing to? Like, for example, if you saw the trade yesterday, for De'Aaron Fox, he goes to Wembanyama's team in the Spurs. Did you see who was it? There was a third team involved there. They got like 6 number one picks. I'm saying if you're Dallas and you want to get rid of Luka Doncic, okay, I would disagree. But if you do, make it a bidding war. Go out and tell everyone.
Right, they didn't.
Instead, they called one team,
yes,
the Lakers, and say, hey, we want him. Do you want him? Sure, let's go. That sounds desperate.
Something sounds very, very odd about the whole thing.
And all due respect to Anthony Davis. I mean, that's an older guy who is a rim protector, very good defensive player, can score, sure. But he's not Luka Doncic.
No.
You won't get another shot.
I mean, Anthony Davis is a guy who can do at his height what not a lot of guys in history have done.
But he's also getting up there in age, too.
He's not Doncic.
Right. And I just think that just was so short-sighted. My goodness. And it was one team and one team only. And if you're Rob Pelinka in L.A., you absolutely take that trade. They want star players out there. That's what sells in L.A. And you have Doncic now to go along with LeBron James. I don't know if they have enough. And quite frankly, they become a bad defensive team even more so now with Doncic because he's not that good defensively. But what he can do on the offensive side makes up for it. I don't know.
I guess the moral of the story for me, I honestly don't care about the particulars for either one of those teams. I couldn't care less about Lakers or Mavericks. Is what is it? It's a reminder that anybody in sports can be traded. And that's why I bring it back to Sid, Paul Skeens.
T.J. Watt. All of them, yep. Skeens.
Anybody can.
If the Pirates would do that, I would be curious what the reaction would be here among this fan base. Especially if it's just draft picks.
It would be outrage, I would think, as much as people are capable
of
outrage.
But you know, at some point, we will be having this discussion for real. Because the Pirates will want to get something in return.
How many more years of control of Skeens do they have? 4?
5.
5? Including this year?
Correct.
Okay. This year is 2025. See, even I know that limits. So you're telling me 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29.
That's correct.
5 years of control. So if we go on the Garrett...
And he'll only be 27 years old at the end of this.
If we go on the Garrett Cole plan, they traded him with 2 years left on his deal here. So then we're talking about in 3 years, this actually starts to become a viable topic based on all of history, because everybody knows the Pirates aren't going to sign him to a $500 million deal, which is
It'll be a billion.
A billion-dollar deal is at least what he's going to command.
And they lost an extra year because he won the Rookie of the Year, finishing the top two. So seven becomes six, which is now five.
There you go. So we're pretty close to actually starting to have these conversations for real. Okay? So why is it so unreal now? Like, if the Dodgers called Bob Nutting tomorrow and said, we'll give up our entire prospect pool for this guy, plus a player and money, at least the top end of our
prospect
pool.
That's the Ricky Williams deal. I'm not going to go. I want players too, though.
I listened to everything. That's why when Art told you, he didn't even listen on the Tomlin thing, wouldn't you be curious what your coach was worth to
sure.
a team?
Again, that's my business to just check it out, see how far down the road I can see, and I would like to know what the value is, just because. Why? Information is always important.
Information.
I think.
That's right.
And if they were willing to engage in something crazy, yeah, it would have been certainly worth talking about.
Somebody wants to call me about Skeens. I'm listening
right now?
at least to the effect I'm listening out of curiosity,
right.
If nothing else.
Oh, I want to listen to everything. In fact, I may engage them in a little game. Okay, let's say we do this. What are you going to give me? I want to know. Tell
yes.
me what it is
yes.
now. And at the end, I can always say, you know what? It's just not enough. Sorry, this is bad timing.
Right.
But at least I know. I would do it.
Man, if I was Art, I would have been so curious about that. What if the Steelers go 4-13 next year? And he actually does want to move on. Wouldn't you be curious? All right, here's what we might be dealing with if we move on from this guy as far as a return package. Of course, Tomlin has a no-trade clause. How did that happen, Bob? Have you heard of many coaches with no-trade clauses?
Apparently there are some, but I didn't think there were any, actually. That's when I've heard that for the first time, I thought, wow, that's interesting. And it makes me wonder about the motivation to get it into a contract. You know, why?
Great question. I guess all the protections you can, all the control and protections that are imaginable, you want to get?
I guess.
Every lever of control that's available, you get. And Mike Tomlin has control over his franchise like few coaches I've ever seen in sports. I mean, it is incredible. He's the loudest, most powerful voice in the organization, as Adam Schefter said a few weeks ago. That's obvious. He is the last word on draft picks. We know that. And in a year where his handpicked coordinator and quarterback, two guys he handpicked, failed in historically spectacular fashion and were jettisoned from the franchise 3 years into each of their tenures, less than that in Pickett's case, instead of any ramification of that as far as lessening his power, or even moving on from him, Art Rooney tripled down on him and gave him a longer extension than usual at 3 years, a nice hefty raise that made him the fifth highest paid coach in all of American sports. Oh, and he has a no trade clause. He has more control over this franchise. I don't have the list in front of me. You'd have to show me a coach in American sports who has more control over their franchise, no matter their performance, than Mike Tomlin. Anybody off the top of your head?
Well,
Greg Popovich?
I would say that was one of my – but he should not be doing it anymore.
Well, maybe after Tomlin's fifth Super Bowl, we could have talked about that kind of power being
but
justified.
That's, also,
that's one. Two,
I would have
is
Belichick
the Spurs,
back in his day when he was
still
there.
Well, we saw
there.
That. They moved on from him.
Yep.
But two with Greg Popovich is they had the courage as an organization to say, we're going to stink.
Yeah.
And we might get a big prize. Well, look at the prize they got. And now they just made a trade to augment that prize, something that the Pirates abjectly refused to do is to build around this generational centerpiece they have.
That's the biggest crime of this offseason for them. They haven't done anything
in
to
all
build
of
around.
Sports. It's I one mean, of the it's one of the biggest in all of recent sports history to have a guy like that. Even the Mavericks, for God's sakes, they go out and get Kyrie Irving and go to the finals.
Yeah, they drafted Gafford, and they've had good players to put around them, big men to surround Luka.
Yeah, they almost got it done last year, but you know, fell short. But he was the reason they got them all to the finals. But
anybody else? Because Popovich, you know, all right, if they went to Tomlin 3 years ago and said we're gonna sink to
bottom here.
What about
Andy Reid? And I'm only saying that just for I'm not
maybe
talking.
Now, but again, it's justified if he
it's
does.
Justified. Yeah, if he wins the way he's winning, he can do whatever.
But he's
they
been
want.
Fired too.
Right. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah.
Which
one
of
maybe
these guys?
Maybe Reid. Justifiably so.
Joe Maddon had a lot of pull with the Cubs when they were winning playoff games and going to the World Series in 2016. But that was also a lot of a Jed Hoyer's production.
Yeah, and it didn't last, and it was nothing like this.
Yeah.
I mean, 18 years in, hasn't been competitive in a playoff game for 8 years.
What do you think if they extended a conversation with Chicago? What do you think it would have resulted in if it came down to a
I'll tell
a
you
return?
Next, Bob. I'll tell you next about that. And then we will dive more into Penguin talk. And maybe we'll talk about trades, the history of trades in this town. I'll get Bob's
Yeah, and I also think about the Penguins. I don't know. What can they do next in terms of gathering
resources?
I'll
tell you what they could do next, Bob. I'll tell you what they could do next.
Okay.
We'll get into that.